17 in the 101 book.
Jesus on my
we'll have to sleep. I hope that was a blessing to you. It definitely was to me. All right. Some announcements this morning. My apologies. I forgot to mention this in Sunday school. Obviously, most of you know Florence. She's been coming here a long time. And she's getting up in years. And she's been in the hospital recently with back problems. She's really struggling with that. She has come home now. But I have gotten a card over here on the organ. So after the service this morning, I hope you'll take the time to write a little note of encouragement to her, and I will make sure to mail it tomorrow. Okay? So I hope you'll take the time to do that. It's a blessing to see someone at her age still wanting to come to church. It's not common anymore. So also, don't forget that we announced this in Sunday school. We have about 5 or 6 2018 calendars left. If you need one or know of somebody who would want one, please take them. There are a couple in the back near the sound table, and then there are also some up here behind the organ on the platform. So take them with you. Otherwise, they're not going to be of any use to somebody, and they'll get thrown away. That's no good. Also, this week, the new calendars for 2019 are going to be coming in. So next Sunday, I know it's early. It's hard to believe. We're just finishing September, and yet the new calendar for 2019 is already coming out. But those will be coming out, and so I hope, just like we always tell you, if you have friends, relatives, loved ones, whoever they might be, that need a gospel witness and might not take a gospel tract, the gospel was in those calendars. And a lot of people were really blessed by the pretty pictures that are there for each month. And so please take whatever you can use and hand them out to people or mail them. And that would be a real blessing. So hope you'll do that. We just confirmed this recently, October 17th. Is when the parade is scheduled to be. That's a Wednesday night. We run into this every single year. The parade route goes right in front of the church on Ray Street, and nobody can come in or out. I'm praying for rain so that they have to cancel it that night, because Brother Dick Prue is scheduled to be here that night, and obviously he won't be able to be here to preach if we don't have the service. So I'm hoping they have rain that whole day and they have to cancel it and hold it the following Wednesday night, the 24th, when we don't have anyone scheduled to speak. But anyway, regardless, one of those two Wednesday nights, we're going to have to cancel our midweek service because of that parade. And we have to deal with this every single year. Along that same note about church services, this coming Sunday, the 7th, Brother Seabold will be here. All right, so next Sunday he will be here. We haven't seen him in quite some time, and he's always a blessing when he comes. So he'll be here next Sunday. Last but not least, we've had really good help from the men in the church. And this week, the 6th being Saturday, is the last one on the sign-up list that is open for somebody to mow. If anybody's interested, please sign up. And we have the list scheduled through the 20th, which is 2 more weeks. But it seems to happen every year that the mowing season actually extends beyond the end of the list. So we'll let you know if we need any more help. But for right now, this week, if anybody would like to sign up, that would be great. So we're not going to go over the memory verse this service for the sake of time, but we've moved on to Romans chapter 10, verse 14. Some of you may not know the reference, but know that that's the verse about somebody has to be sent and preach the gospel, or else nobody can hear it. So if we keep working on that. That's a long verse, so we'll probably be on that for a little bit. Now we'll have a special. Gentlemen. Thank you.
turn to rust. So I worship only at the feet of Jesus, His cup alone, my holy grail. There'll be no other gods before.
that very much. Let's take our books again. We'll turn the page to number 20 in the 101 book, Sweeter as the Years Go By. Number 20.
Oh, mentioned during the Sunday school hour that Brother Charles Canoy sang with us in the gospel airs. His wife, Mary, went home to be with the Lord this week. And her funeral was yesterday, and it was 2 hours. I mean, it was a celebration. It really was. You had several folks that preached and sang. And their family sang, and Charlie sang by himself. One of the messages. They were married 63 years. And, of course, the quartet sang together for 50 years. But anyway, it was a great, great celebration yesterday. Whoa.
That woke you up.
Is that this guitar doing this?
On your tie, it's too low.
Too low?
It's too low.
Oh, really? Okay. Try it. Still gonna.
Mm-mm. Is it this one?
Okay.
He left the splendor of heaven.
Stars in the sky.
Have your Bibles. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 32, if you will. Numbers chapter number 32. Good to be in God's house today. Great to be saved today. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, right? Numbers chapter number 32, and I want to begin to read at verse number 20. Numbers 32, verse number 20. And Moses said unto them, if you will do this thing, if you will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord until he hath driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord, then afterward ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. I want to concentrate on the last part of verse 23. Be sure your sin will find you out. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you again for the privilege to be here in the house of God today. Thank you for the songs. It's been a blessing to our hearts today. Thank you for the fellowship we've had thus far. Thank you for the Sunday school hour. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day again that you've given us. And now we have this time once again to look into your word. And Lord, as we consider your word today, I pray the Holy Spirit will take the word and apply it to our hearts. And Lord, for all that you do, we'll give you the thanks and the praise in Jesus' wonderful name and for his sake we ask it. Amen. Be sure your sin will find you out. I don't know about you, but I watched that hearing on Thursday. I watched it all. From 10 o'clock until, what, quarter to 7? And I'm not going to get political, but two different versions of an event, right? Both seem very credible. And, but no witnesses. The three people that supposedly were the witness for the accuser, Dr. Ford, none of those people said they could remember being at a party or remember a party like that or any events like that. And so there are no witnesses there. I think something did happen to her, but she can't remember when or where, how she got there, how she got home, and it was 36 years ago. Of course, Judge Kavanaugh says it didn't happen, and both of them swore on the Bible, didn't they? They took an oath that they were telling the truth. Well, we may never know the truth, right? We may never know. One thing for sure, God knows. God knows, doesn't he? You know, according to Deuteronomy 17, in a trial, of course, that was a hearing, not a trial, but in a trial, according to Deuteronomy 17, there had to be at least two or three witnesses. One witness was not enough. Well, they didn't have any witnesses, really, that, you know, could corroborate the story. So we may never know, you know, what happened there. And of course, we don't know exactly how it's going to turn out. But one thing for sure, God knows. He knows what happened, and he knows who's telling the truth, doesn't he? And this much I know, what the Bible says here is true. Be sure your sin will find you out. It will, won't it? Make no mistake about it. When I was in the fourth grade, I stole a penknife. You know, that's been, what, 60-some years ago, I guess? But I still remember that. I remember being in class, and I remember one of my friends had a new penknife, and I didn't have one. And I saw him put that knife in his coat pocket. And we had, you know, closets like this where we're hanging our coats. I saw him put that knife in his coat pocket. And when I got the opportunity, I took it. And I took it home. And my mother saw me with it, and she asked me where I got it. I said, somebody gave it to me. Well, I don't know that she bought that. But anyway, I went back to school the next day, and I had the knife. And so I remember we were sitting in class, fourth grade now. And I remember the teacher said this. She said, yesterday, somebody took something that didn't belong to them. And you know who you are. Well, well, I wasn't saved at that time, but I want to tell you, I was feeling the heat. And she said this. She said, if that person will put that back today, nothing more will ever be said about it. Well, when I got the opportunity, I put it back. And nothing more was ever said about it. I'm sure nobody, I don't think anybody, because no, I don't think anybody saw me, nobody in that class, the teacher, the person I took it from, nobody knows that it was me that took it. But I know I took it. And God knew I took it. And it found me out. And by the way, sin will find us out, will it not? Be sure your sin will find you. I've got some biblical examples. I mean, the Bible's filled with examples of this. And the first one I'm thinking of is Achan. You know, Achan, the Bible says that when the Israelites had gone into the land of Canaan, and of course they took the city of Jericho, which was a walled city. It guarded really the whole Jordan Valley. And that was the first obstacle, you know, that the Israelite armies encountered when they came into the land of Canaan. And so the people had been instructed, when we take the city of Jericho, don't take any of the spoils. Because all the spoils from that city are going to go into the Lord's treasury. There's a curse on the person that takes of those spoils. Everything is to go into the Lord's treasury. Well, they took the city. You know, the Bible says when they blew the trumpets and the walls fell down flat, they went straight forward and they took the city. Great, great victory. But there was a fellow by the name of Achan that says he took of the accursed thing. He saw, it says, a goodly Babylonish garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold. And I don't know what he was thinking. He's probably thinking this, you know, this will be kind of a little start for me, you know, in the land of Canaan. I can buy a nice little farm. I can get a good start with this. And so he took those things and he hid them. And I guess he thought his sin was covered. Well, for a while it was okay. But then Israel went up against the next city, which is the city of Ai, and that was a terrible, terrible defeat, wasn't it? Remember they lost, was it 36 men, I believe? Terrible, terrible defeat. And oh, I mean, they're crying before the Lord, you know, this terrible defeat. And Joshua is on his face before the Lord, and God told him, get up. There's sin in the camp. There is sin in the camp. That's why you lost. And so they begin to go through the tribes. They begin to go through the families. And, you know, God obviously was leading in all this, and they narrowed it down to Achan and his family. Think about it. Out of all those people, God narrowed that thing down to Achan and his family. And so Achan was brought before Joshua and the elders, and he confessed what he had done, that he saw those things, he lusted after those things, and he took those things, and he got found out. And then, of course, the Bible says they took Achan and his whole family and burned them. The judgment of God fell. Be sure your sin will find you out. And it did, didn't it? After that was taken care of, after sin was put away in the camp, they went on to victory. But it had to be dealt with before they went on, didn't it? Well, here's another one. David, of course, man after God's own heart. Think about that statement now. A man after God's own heart. Boy, you can't find a better statement than that, can you? He is God's chosen king. Won that great victory, you know, of course, over Goliath. And then, of course, after his trial, you know, and fleeing from King Saul, Saul is finally taken off the scene, and David becomes king. But in his later years, fell in the sin with Bathsheba. But the time when the kings go forth to battle, he stayed home. And he saw her, he lusted after her, he committed adultery with her. And as a result, there was a child born, which God took away prematurely. Interesting, you know, God forgave David. You know, the Old Testament really required in a case like that that both parties be stoned to death. It's exactly what the law required, that both be stoned. God didn't do that. He didn't take David's life or Bathsheba's life. And he also didn't take him off the throne. He preserved his throne. That, all you can say about that is mercy and grace. That's all you can say, right? But he did say this, sword's never going to depart from your house. You know, even though he forgave him, and even though he spared his life and kept him on the throne, there was a price to pay, wasn't there? And he paid that price in the death of four of his children, fourfold. The first one is Amnon. Amnon, the Bible says, lusted after his half-sister Tamar. Now, both of these had the same father, David, but they both had different mothers because David had many wives. Same father, but different mothers. And Amnon became infatuated with his half-sister Tamar. So much so they said he was sick. And then it says that Amnon had a friend. Remember reading that? He's actually his cousin, Jonadab. Friends like this you don't need. And Jonadab said, I'll tell you what to do. Here's what you do. You pretend like you're sick and ask your father David to have Tamar come in and minister to you while you're sick. And so that's what he did. And so Tamar came in to minister to him, and while she was there with the doors closed, he raped her. And then after he raped her, he kicked her out. Wasn't love. You know, love is concerned about the other person. Lust is selfish. Lust is only concerned about self. Well, looks like things are smoothed over. Not much is said about it. But Tamar's brother was Absalom. Tamar and Absalom were full brother and sister. They not only had the same father, they had the same mother. And so Absalom found out what Amnon had done. And Absalom is one of those cool characters that doesn't get mad, he just gets even. Yeah, you ever seen that bumper sticker? I don't get mad, I just get even. Yeah, that's Absalom. And so he keeps very cool and very quiet about it, and 2 years go by. And then Absalom appeals to his father David, so I'm going to have a little party down here, sheep shearing, And so, you know, Absalom makes the appeal, let my brothers come down to the sheep shearing. Well, Amnon comes down. And while he's there, it said they smote him under the fifth rib and killed him. Be sure your sin will find you out. Amnon didn't expect that. But, you know, you never know where sin will take you, do you? Then there's Absalom himself. Absalom was in line for the throne, but he was not God's choice. Solomon was God's choice. But Absalom had delusions of grandeur. And so he started politicking. And the Bible said that Absalom would travel around. Remember, he's the king's son now. He would travel around, it said, with 50 men to run before him. In other words, when he came to town, look, this is impressive. Here's Prince Absalom coming to town. 50 men to run before him. And he comes to the city gate. You know, that's where all city business was conducted in Bible times, in the city gate. Court cases were judged there. You know, all kinds of business conducted there. So he comes to the city gate, and he listens to the complaints that people have and listens to their ideas. And somebody complains about the government and, you know, how things are going. And Absalom says, you know, you've got a real legitimate complaint there. And my father really hadn't put anybody in charge to deal with this. If I were king, now, I would do something about that. And so he's kissing the babies, he's pressing the flesh, shaking hands. And the Bible says he won the hearts of the people. He stole the hearts of the people. And so he's preparing now to rebel against his father and try to take the throne. And so he goes down to Hebron, which is in the southern part of the country. And that's where he kicks off his coup d'etat down in Hebron. They say, why did he do that? Because he's smart. David had been king in Hebron, hadn't he, for 7 years. But then he moved the capital from Hebron to Jerusalem. Now just guess, what do you think those people in Hebron felt? The capital got moved. They lost all that business. They're losing monetarily because the capital got moved. And there's a real feeling of ill will, I think, down in Hebron. Well, Absalom's smart. He tapped into that. And so he goes down to Hebron, and that's where he kicks off his coup d'etat. And they announce that Absalom is king. Well, it got so bad that David had to flee the throne, didn't he? He actually had to flee from Jerusalem. And for a time being, I mean, it looked like David's not going to survive. It looks like Absalom's going to be on top, but Absalom's not God's choice. Solomon's God's choice. And so in the thick of the battle one day, Absalom gets caught in a branch of a tree. He's hanging there in the branch of the tree. David had already given orders, if you find him, don't touch him. Well, Joab found him. The Bible says Joab put 3 darts through his heart. You read that passage in, I think it's chapter 18 of 2 Samuel. When David got the message, I mean, he's brokenhearted. Even though, you know, it looks like he's going to lose the kingdom to his son. He loves his son, doesn't he? And you can feel the pathos there when he said, oh, Absalom, my son, would God I died for thee. Be sure your sin will find you out. David sin found him out. This is number 3, I believe, in his loss. And Absalom sin found him out too, didn't it? Then there's another one. Here's Ahithophel. You know, he's an interesting character. He's David's counselor. And it says that his counsel was like the counsel of God. I mean, this fellow was very well respected. David's trusted counselor. But when Absalom rebelled against his father, guess what Ahithophel did? He aligned himself with Absalom. He joined in the rebellion. You say, now why did he do that? Well, there's a simple answer. He's Bathsheba's grandfather. Think about that. I think when David committed adultery with Bathsheba, something in Ahithophel died. This is his granddaughter. Her husband's been killed. Her family's been destroyed. David has committed adultery with his granddaughter. And I think Ahithophel from that point on decided, if I ever get the chance, I'm going to get you, old boy. I think that's what he was thinking. If I ever get the chance. And he got the chance when Absalom rebelled. Ahithophel joins in the rebellion. And he gives counsel. But then later we find out, you remember what David prayed, Lord? He said, Lord, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. Remember reading that? Turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. Well, God did. And Ahithophel's counsel was not accepted. You know what it says about him? He went home, he set his house in order, and he hanged himself. Be sure your sin will find you out. Found him out, didn't it? Then there's Ahab. Boy, this is one of the wickedest men in the Old Testament. Do you know any people that name their kids Ahab today? Or Jezebel, for that matter? I mean, these are names that have such a terrible connotation. I mean, you may name your dog. I wouldn't even name a dog that. But Ahab and Jezebel, what a pair. I almost think she's got the edge on him as far as wickedness, but they're both very wicked people. And the Bible says that there was a vineyard next to the palace in Samaria. And Ahab wanted that vineyard. And so he approached the owner of the vineyard, who was Naboth. Naboth, how about selling me? I'll actually trade you something, you know, if you let me have that vineyard. Nah, Naboth didn't want to sell it. Don't want to let it go. Couldn't be persuaded. So it says that Ahab went home, got into bed, and turned his face to the wall. He's pouting, isn't he? He didn't get his way. Jezebel comes home, finds him in bed pouting. What's the problem? He tells her the problem, and she said, don't you worry, I'll get it. I'll get it. And they hired men to lie about Naboth, that they'd heard him blaspheme the Lord. And so guess what they did? They took that righteous man out and they stoned him to death. Ahab got the vineyard. And so one day he's in the vineyard and he's very proud of himself. Finally got this. And Elijah appears on the scene. You couldn't miss him the way he was dressed in camel's hair. I mean, he's a rough looking creature. And he points that old bony finger and he said, in the place where the dogs lick the blood of Naboth, that dog's going to lick your blood. And he left. The Bible says that later Ahab went to war And actually, pretty interesting. They kind of changed garments between him and the king of Judah. He's not even dressed in his kingly garb. But it says, a man drew a bow adventure. In other words, he wasn't even aiming. He drew a bow adventure, and guess what? It got him right between the chinks of his armor. And his chariot driver took him home, and he died in the chariot. And it says that in the very place where they were cleaning out the blood of the chariot, the dogs licked his blood. Be sure your sin will find you out. It's a sure thing, isn't it? There's another one. Azariah, or he's also called Uzziah in the Bible. 2 Kings chapter 15. He had the second longest reign of any king in Israel, or in Judah rather. 52 years. The longest reign was that of Manasseh. He had 55 years. But Azariah, or Uzziah, both the same person now, 52 years. And when you read the account of his reign, he was a good king. I mean, he did a lot of good things in the nation. That's a long time, 52 years. And there's a long list of accomplishments that he had. But in his later years, and the Bible doesn't tell us why he did this, but he went into the temple and tried to offer incense in the temple, which was only permitted by the priest. You had to be a priest to do that. But that's what he did. And the Bible says as he went in there, and were there people that knew about this and tried to talk him out of it? We don't know. We're not told. All we are told is that he went into the temple trying to offer incense, and the Bible says at that point God struck him with leprosy. And he died a leper. What a sad, sad ending for somebody who had a great history. 52 years on the throne in Judah. All those great accomplishments, but in the last few years, threw it all away. He certainly knew what the Bible said. He had to have known. Pride? We don't know what it was, but anyhow, he tried to offer incense, and God struck him with leprosy, and the Bible says he died a leper. Be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure your sin will find you out. Then we talked about this in the Sunday school. Ananias and Sapphira, Acts chapter 5. Everybody's selling land, bringing the money to the church. Ananias saw what was going on, and he and his wife evidently wanted to get in on all the blessing. So they sold a piece of property and pretended like they were giving it all. And as Ananias stood before Peter, I think he was expecting Peter's going to slap him on the back and say, bless your heart, Ananias. Bless your heart. But instead, what he heard was, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? And he dropped down dead. I mean, in church. This is in church, isn't it? This is evidently, there's a service going on. And he dropped down dead. And then later, his wife came in with the same story. She told the same story, and she fell down dead. And they carried them both out and buried them. And said, no man durst join himself to that church. Their sin found them out, didn't it? Be sure your sin will find you out. Now, none of us are sinless, are we? I don't care how long we've been saved, we are not sinless. We certainly should desire to be. And by the way, we certainly should sin less, shouldn't we? We may not be sinless, but we should sin less now that we're saved. And God certainly has made a way for us to deal with sin. First of all, acknowledge it. Here's Psalm 51:3. David said, for I acknowledge my transgression, my sins ever before me. We acknowledge it, first of all. You know, if you're not willing to acknowledge it, you can't have it dealt with, can you? And sometimes, you know, folks are not willing to acknowledge it. You can't deal with it unless you are willing to admit it's there. A problem can't be dealt with unless we admit we've got a problem, right? So we acknowledge it. And then once we acknowledge it, then repent of it. Here's Job in 42, Job 42:6. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. That simply means that we take God's side against our sin. Not only are we sorry for it, but we want to be done with it, and we change our mind towards sin. And we repent of it. And confess it. Here's Psalm 32:5. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Confess it. And then we forsake it. Unfortunately, as long as we're in this body of flesh, there is going to be the possibility of sin, right? There's certainly going to be the temptation to sin. And truth be known, there's probably not a day that goes by that we don't sin in some way. I think I've said this before up here, but I think really every day that we get up, my attitude should be that today I am not going to sin at all. That's my attitude. I don't plan to sin at all today. Probably sometime during the day, do you think I might? I turn on the news and, well, my wife said you ought not to watch the news. I mean, it gets me upset and lose my sanctification sometimes. I do like to know what's going on, though. I don't think we ought to stick our heads in the sand like an ostrich. And I know, look, most of the time the news is not pleasant, but I do want to know what's going on. But things creep into our lives that upset us. We were coming up here, and just before we turned off at the exit, this guy passed and cut. Now, that's one of the things that drives me up the wall. Maybe it doesn't bother you. That bothers me. And look, things happen to us, and if we're not careful, we sin in thought, maybe in word, in deed. But I'm thankful that God has a remedy for that. And if we'll confess it, if we'll repent of it, if we'll confess it, God will forgive us and cleanse us. And by the way, we have to do that on a daily basis. If there's something that we won't acknowledge, if there's something we won't deal with, that's when we get in trouble. That's when we get in trouble. If there's something in our life, and by the way, you know, God is very faithful in putting his finger on things, isn't he? He is very faithful in letting us know when something's not right, and right fast. This is what needs to be dealt with. If we're willing to deal with it, you know, we confess it, he cleanses us, we go on. If we won't deal with it, if we won't acknowledge it, and we let it stay there, if we're not careful, guess what happens? It becomes a habit. And then it can get out of control, can't it? And lead us down a path that, you know, look, you know people, all of us know people that used to be in church, used to serve God, used to be involved, maybe used to teach Sunday school, used to sing, used to preach, But something happened in their life and sin crept in and they're nowhere to be found now. They're out in the world. They don't go to church anymore. They don't serve God anymore. Well, be sure your sin will find you out. I don't know about you, but I want to stay close to the Lord. I want to get as close as possible. When I had to go cut that switch when I was a kid, I knew it was best to get close to my dad. Closer I get to him, the less that switch hurt. And if we stay close to the Lord, and it's not because we want to avoid being chastened. It should be because we love him and appreciate what he's doing in our lives, and we want to serve him. That should be our motivation. But we know what the dangers are if we get out of sorts, don't we? And so may the Lord help us to stay in fellowship with him, stay close to him every single day. And because we're in a battle. Look, we are in a battle, aren't we? The world out there hates this church. The world out there hates Christians. The world hates Jesus Christ, doesn't it? It does. The devil hates us. And the old flesh wants to take over our lives. So we've got a battle going on, but we're on the winning side. We are on the winning side. And so let's stay close to the Lord and let not sin have dominion. As Christians, we don't have to sin. We're not under the law, we're under grace. If we sin, it was because we chose to, not because we had to. We're under grace. And so may the Lord help us to live that way. And I think everybody wants to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Certainly should want to hear that, shouldn't we? And potentially, I think we can. But we're going to have to stay close to the Lord if we're going to hear that. Well, may the Lord add his blessing to his word. And let's bow for prayer. And just before we pray, maybe God's spoken to your heart about a need. You know, I don't know what the needs are. God knows. He knows our hearts. And maybe there's something you're going through right now or the problem right now that you're facing. You say, Brother Bob, pray for me. I need prayer. Thank you. I see that hand. Yes. Someone else. Yes, thank you. I'm a Christian. I need prayer today. Please pray for me. Truth of the matter is we all need prayer, don't we? Really, all the time. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And so we pray for you folks. Prayed for you this morning before we came up. Pray for you every day. Anyone else just before we pray? Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Applies these things to our hearts. Pray for these who raised their hand. You know what the needs are. You know how to meet the needs. And we do pray for the church here, Lord. Pray for the man that you would send to be their new pastor, that you would raise him up, send him this way. We know it's hard to wait. A lot of times we don't understand why things happen the way they do, but Lord, we know that you're in control of everything. And so we just trust you to send that person in your time. And Lord, I do pray that you would bless the work here as it goes forward. Help us to lift high the bloodstained banner round about us. Help us be a witness to those that we come in contact with that need to be saved. As Christians, Lord, help us stay close to thee. Lord, we know what the ravages of sin can do. The Bible is so clear. And we all know people, Lord, that had their lives ruined because they didn't take heed to your word and stay close. Help us, I pray. We just commit this time now into your faithful hands. In Jesus' wonderful name, for his sake we ask it. Amen. Amen. Brother Ralph.
All right, well, let's take our hymn books and turn to number 473. Seventy-three. this place. We will take the messages we heard today. First, avoiding malice, having ill will toward people. And then also making sure that when there is an issue between us and someone else, that we take care of that right away. And hopefully it can be dealt with on a one-on-one basis, and that can be the end of it. But if the process has to be further followed, help us to follow what your word teaches. And then also help us to avoid sin in general, as we heard just now. Help us to look to you, and when we do sin, confess it and forsake it right away, because if we don't, your word says that if we are your children, you will chasten us. And so we pray that we would heed these admonitions, and we pray that we will be doers of your word and not hearers only. Dismiss us now with your blessing. Give us safety as we travel to our destinations. And we pray that at the next appointed time that we would be here ready to hear more from you and your word. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please don't forget to take a minute to write a little note of encouragement to Florence there with the card on the organ. Thank you.